everyone. Welcome to the call today. Appreciate you being here as we talk about the world of persuasion, motivation, and influence. Let's see where we are. I got a lot of questions we can ask. Getting a little feedback here. Hold on. All right. So let's get into it. We got some questions and some things that we're going to ask today as we go through this I'm just getting some feedback here. Hold on, see if we can get rid of it. All right. About persuasion, influence, we're going to hit talk about one of the big theme questions that we're getting, I'm getting. And remember, you can post your questions through whypersuasion.com. And, of course, welcome for those that are on the phone call, those who are doing the replay. Many of you are going via the net, so you can ask your questions via whypersuasion.com. I know most of you are muted when you're doing that because of the feedback. Let us talk about the fundamental aspect of persuasion influence, which is association triggers, or subconscious triggers, we can call them. The biggest shocker I found through all the years of research, this is right in the beginning, was that the 95% of persuasion and influence involves a subconscious trigger. You know, it's a feeling. It feels right. I like this person. I don't like this person. I trust this person. I don't trust this person. It could be how close you stand. It could be a smell, a color, music. It could be who endorsed it. It could be anything. We have these feelings, whether you're on the internet, face-to-face, over the phone. We pick up things and we don't even know it. Here's an example. So I'm doing a three-day persuasion event. And one of the first things we do for fun is have people introduce themselves. And while they're introducing themselves, people judge them on their first impressions of them. Smart, strange, weird, because you usually don't get that type of information. And they also, I ask them to, again for fun, to give us the animal that best describes their personality and why. And it's fun and it's interesting to see what animals people pick. But this particular audience, most of the people were some type of a cat. Lion, tiger, house cat, leopard, cheetah. What is going on? And nobody else picked up on it. I'd done it enough times to know that that was not the norm. And I was scratching my head. What's going on? What's going on? I couldn't figure it out. Went to lunch and I came back. And as I come back, I noticed the hallway on the way to the room, there were pictures on the wall of different kinds of cats. That's an association trigger. And that's something you need to understand. It could be when you put credit card logos on your site or on your retail store, that's an association trigger that actually increases sales. And there are things you can do that can decrease sales. The colors you use could decrease or increase sales. You know that when you're dressed and talking to people, blue tends to be a more credible color. Now here's a fun one. Restaurant in Southern California. All you could eat restaurant. And you get there. And for whatever, you would sit there, and before you paid, you would get on a scale. Now, they'd removed all the numbers, and when you got on the scale, it would just say, $10, $15, $20, I don't remember the amount. And then that was the amount you paid, and you'd go eat. Now, that was a clever, fun, different idea. I'll give them 10 points for that. But then the association trigger, yeah, it didn't last, because who wants to get on a scale, even if it didn't have numbers, before they eat? Number one, it needed an all-you-can-eat restaurant, number two. And those are some things you just got to watch out for. And that's what we want to talk about today as we go through that process to get you there to help you understand that. It could be logos. You have to remember that our brain, to maintain order in the world, will link objects, gestures, and symbols with feelings and memories. We see a cop car. Wow, that triggers a feeling. We see any symbol, skull and crossbones. Triggers a feeling. Beach. No, it's an association trigger. For me, I think of the beach. Woo, that feels good. I'm liking it. My father hates the beach. He would never get caught dead at the beach. Oops, that's strange. Well, he get into it. He found out when he was 15, he went to the beach for the first time. Really didn't think through about the sunscreen thing. Spent the whole day there, and that's his trigger. Again, so some triggers are different for different people, but there's some universal ones we'll talk about. Here's an interesting one. Weathermen get death threats. Like, what? Yeah, are you kidding? My daughter's getting married and you say it's going to rain? Now, logically, it makes no sense, but then you're thinking, okay, what's going on? How could that be? Well, and that's true. You know, the messenger gets killed, the bringing bearer of bad news, and there's a lot of truth to that. So if you want someone to like you, if you don't want a bad association trigger, you let someone else deliver the bad news. And they did a study with this with college students. And so they're taking this test, and the phone would ring, hey, we've got some great news. Go get so-and-so. And they, the first one would go over, hey, there's a phone call. You've got great news. And then the phone call would ring, and a different experiment, oh, there's some really bad news. I need to talk to so-and-so. Can you get them for me? And the experimenter would go and say, there's a phone call. I'm not sure what it's about. Because we instinctively know that the bear of bad news gets shot a lot of times. Here's another interesting one. I was working for a company. Won't need to name names here. But I was doing traveling, doing a lot of training for them. They gave me an American Express card to take care of all the bills. Had my name on it, but you know it wasn't really mine. Had the company name on it, too. So I get a call from a collection agency wanting me to pay the $40,000 that's owed on it. I'm like, whoa, so my credit card is the company credit card. All your name's on it, you have to pay for it. I'm really aggressive. I'm like, let me check into this. I want to resolve this just as much as you do. And I said, give me your name and number, I'll call you back. He says, okay, here's my number. Okay, what's your name? He says, my name's Thor. I'm like, really, Thor? He says, oh, yes, it is. I said, your mother named you Thor? And I said, I'm having some trust issues. You're going to have to fax me a license. I'm not sure that's your name. But if you think about the association trigger, Thor, God of Thunder, wasn't Percival, wasn't Elmer, it was a strong name. That is an association trigger. And this can be even to deal with endorsements. Michael Jordan, basketball player, made more with endorsements than he did playing basketball. He was one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived. Why? Because he's a likable guy. So if you like Michael Jordan, then you like those shoes he's wearing, like the underwear he's wearing, like the hot dogs that he eats. That's how it works. That's why it's a billion-dollar industry. Now, that can backfire, too. If somebody does something bad and it has an endorsement, so you notice they drop them really fast. Kobe Bryant had that challenge. O.J. Simpson had that challenge. Michael Jackson had that challenge. Oh, Michael Phelps, the swimmer, had that challenge. You have to be careful. In fact, the worst one that I saw, and I'm not sure whose genius this was, but they found a public figure. Everybody knew who she was in the news quite a bit, and she had lost a lot of weight, and so was actually looking good. So Weight Watchers went to talk to her and said, hey, we'd be your spokesperson. Well, sure. It was Monica Lewinsky. And I'm like, really? Can't do better than that? And they dropped it real fast, obviously, because there's an association trigger. You go to a university Monday morning. We won. If they lost, it's they lost. We distance ourselves. In fact, on Monday morning after a big victory, more people are wearing those sweatshirts. And that's part of the whole process. So you have to think through colors and music and things that people see. Those are all association triggers. Even taking someone to lunch, the association of good food, good company, good music, that increases the liking and a positive association. So I see so many commercials with babies and puppy dogs. You see tire commercials with a baby? What? You see things that have nothing to do with puppy dogs because that's, association trigger. And the good feelings for the babies and the puppy dog transfers to the product or service. That is part of the process. Another interesting one is U.S. presidents spend all this time when they get into the White House to figure out what type of dog they're going to get. Really, all the challenges, they try to worry about a dog, but that's what they do because, you know, they say a dog's a man's best friend. I mean, if they got a hamster, or a gerbil, a tarantula, a snake, you'd have issues. That wouldn't feel right to you. Clinton's, they got a cat, didn't want the dog, and they eventually, for PR reasons, did get a dog. We notice when firefighters wear their uniform to ask for donations at the lights, get more donations. Wearing a Santa Claus suit, association trigger, will get more donations. Wearing a white coat that's a subconscious trigger. You know, that white coat is something that doctors use, pharmacists use, when they want to have that association trigger. And we mentioned credit cards. 29% increase by just posting that picture. American flag, Olympics, all those type of things are association triggers that you have to really kind of think through as you work through this. So think about that. What are the association triggers that are happening? Who can you use to endorse your product? What's actually going on when you are working with a prospect? It could be your tone of your voice. These are all association triggers. Everything you do is going to attract or repel your prospect. And that's something you need to focus on. I got a question here about colors on the internet. You know, there's a lot of things. Yellow is a great is a color, the first color to appear that we'll see. I mean, if you put all the colors up, that'd be the first one that would grab our attention. But it's very annoying. But contrasting colors are important on the internet. And I'm not going to give you a blanket color because it also depends on your profession, your industry. There's some colors that are usually in professions like that. So that contrasting color is important, easy to read, quick, and something that you can take a look at. So that's something that you need to take a look at with your websites. And your goal as you build these association triggers is to paint that picture that your prospect can see themselves using your product or service. Because if they can't see themselves using it, it doesn't matter. In fact, as I interview prospects after they've talked to great persuaders, they say, it's like listening to a movie. It came alive. It could see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. And one of the ways you can do this, if you're not sure where they're at, is follow the lead of politicians. Not that I want to recommend that career path, but you listen to them. They'll talk to an audience and say nothing, and the audience loves them. You're like, well, how did they do that? Well, part of it, if it's their same political affiliation, no matter what they say, they're going to be liked. But put that aside, you see a politician talk about freedom, talk about change, talk about the American way if you live in the United States. That means nothing. What I call it is fill in the blank. So you say freedom. Everybody defines that in a different way, but if you use that, they can visualize it. There's a good trigger for them. You're talking to them even though you really haven't talked to them. And so if you're talking more to in a group type presentation, yeah, it would be good to use that type of a presentation to where they can feel that, where they can see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. Build it up to where you're talking about those different association triggers. Another question here about colors. So let me spend a little time with colors. Yeah, colors are very persuasive. I mean, reds and yellows will stimulate appetite. You notice McDonald's are that way. Higher-end restaurants use darker colors. There's a correctional facility in, Washington. A lot of fights, a lot of aggression, so they painted the whole thing pink. And the fight stopped. Now, it triggered other feelings. Okay, I'm kidding. But pink is an interesting color. So colors do trigger imagination. Darker colors, blues and blacks, tend to be more credible, especially with the clothes that you're wearing. Red ties still pull well for guys as far as credibility and power. So colors do pull. Even with food, you put a little food color in orange juice or strawberries, they're rated it better. Laundry detergent, when they put it in the blue box, it was too weak. Yellow box is too strong, but blue and yellow was just right. I'm going to go through this study after study. But color is something to think through as an association trigger. And that's when we mentioned yellow. That's why fire trucks and a lot of firehead are becoming yellow, because that is the first color that triggers in the human brain, and with red being yellow. So, yeah, colors is an association trigger, something you have to think through. The paint on the wall, the carpet. You look at Vegas, they're it's very interesting the colors they use. Their carpets are actually very obnoxious and very hard to look at for a reason. They don't want you looking at the floor. They want to look at you, everybody playing, having fun, and winning. So colors is an aspect of that. I got another question here. It says, Kurt, didn't you mention that music is part of an association trigger? Yes, I did. Music is an interesting one. We know, for example, supermarkets, when they slow down their music, you listen to the music, they slow it down, people shop 18% longer. And with any retail setting, or even casinos, the more time you spend in a store, the bigger chances are you're going to buy something. That's why bigger malls are hard to get out. Casinos are hard to get out. They have, diagonal floor patterns. don't know if you've ever been to a casino or even Mall of America. They're very hard to get out of sometimes. You get easily lost. They do that for a reason. Music like Rocky and Jaws, I mean, they trigger different feelings. We know, for example, fast food restaurants will have a fast music pace because they have your money. They need your table so you eat a little faster. That's the power of music. There's something there that you can use, especially if you're teaching a seminar or presentation. Having music in the room makes a big difference, as long as it's the right type of music. One example is pretty interesting. There was a convenience store owner. All these teenagers were loitering and loitering. He calls the cops, they leave, and they come back, calls the cops, they leave. He asks them to leave, they don't leave. So, pretty clever, he went outside and put speakers up. Well, they weren't there. They were in school, and he started playing Frank Sinatra through these speakers outside, and the teenagers did not loiter anymore, and they didn't come back. So there is something about music. There's something about colors. And there's even smell. So remember, up to 95% of persuasion involves that subconscious trigger. It involves all those. Gesture, smell, how close you stand to somebody. It's called proxemics. And it makes a difference. So if you have any questions, just zap them to me there at whypersuasion.com. We're also going to post the recording there. You can ask me questions via the phone. That's fine, too. I've got a couple here I need to answer. So if you're want to ask a question via the phone, just break in. I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, we're going to handle the ones via the net. Let's see here. This question's about smell. You know, our olfactory system is very powerful. It's rooted into the center of our brain. And you know this to be true because you can smell a perfume or cologne, and boom, you're transported back. You smell fresh-cut grass or pool chlorine or the beach, bam, you're transported back. There's something there. I mean, perfume, cologne, that's a billion-dollar industry. And, yeah, your rate is more attractive when you wear the proper amount. What we have found is that most people wear too much. So if you're going to a persuasive situation in the workplace, you need to smell like you've taken a shower, but I would not wear perfume and cologne because it bothers a lot of people and there's a lot of complaints there. Be very careful with that. And again, if you're going to a nightclub, that's probably something different, but that is something to think about with smell. When people are near the smell of a Cinnabon store, they're more likely to donate to a charity. That's a powerful thing when we talk about smell. And you look at real estate agents. When you're looking at an open house, they're going to bake cookies or potpourri or bake bread. Because, whoa, you're smelling your home all of a sudden. If you talk about association trigger, you could have the opposite effect. Let's say you look at a home. It's perfect. You know it's perfect. Perfect neighborhood, perfect schools, perfect square footage. It's $10,000 less than you wanted to spend. Perfect. But when you look at it, it reeks of cat urine. And you know that you can change the carpets. You know you can get rid of the smell, but that subconscious trigger, it just doesn't feel right. Just doesn't feel right. And that's the power of smells. Colors, we talked about that. Any other questions, go ahead and send them to me or break them up for the phone. The one question is about for guys. It's interesting, even for guys, the red, white, and blue still pulls. Red suit, white tie. The blue suit, white shirt, and red tie still pulls well. They've done Photoshop the tie of different colors. That still pulls the best. Even with politicians, they spend focus groups on what tie to wear and what color suit because it matters. And I mentioned a question here about color and food. And I mentioned the colors as far as stimulating appetite. That is part of it. It matters because sometimes we get these feelings. Let me give you a couple of blunders out there. I guess it's been made. Both Coke and Pepsi have released clear colas. And Pepsi called theirs Crystal Pepsi. It was a cola. It tasted like Pepsi, but it was clear. Clear like 7-Up. Didn't sell well, just didn't feel right. There was just something not quite right about it. You have margarine when it first came out. It was white. White like lard. No, didn't sell. They had to put food coloring in it, make it a little yellow like butter. You have, oh, green ketchup that came out. Really? Green ketchup? And it was actually pretty tasty, but it just doesn't sit well with people. Here's an interesting one. Milk jugs. The gallon milk jugs are clear plastic. They found if they turned them a little yellow, that the milk would last a couple days longer. But then on the flip side, even though logically that makes sense, and people wouldn't buy it. So it doesn't matter if it makes sense logically. You're dealing with very emotional creatures, whether it's over the phone, face-to-face, via the net, very emotional creatures. And you have to understand that a picture, a color, a smell, a word choice, how close you stand to them, all those make a huge difference in what you're able to do. Any other questions? Now, what a good focus here is, it's hard to notice in your own office weird things that are bad association triggers. It's almost good to sometimes videotape walking into your office, walking into your workplace, or having someone else look at your website to see what those association triggers are. Because if you see them every day, they don't bother you. They're part of you. They do nothing. So that's one thing that you can do. But go through your website or go through your place of work or whatever you do and see what the trigger is. Even your car's an association trigger. So in San Francisco, here's the study. Light turns red, and then it turns green. And in the front of the line was this junker of a car. So it turns green, and it doesn't move. And they want to see how fast these people from San Francisco would honk at this car. Right? You have to do it in milliseconds, probably. Man, it was a junker. They are on the horn. Come on, go! Then the next time around, they did it with a Rolls Royce. Nice, classy car. And, of course, a lot of people waited a lot longer, and some didn't even honk at all. That is an association trigger. What people see. So that's something to think about. Everything, the way you dress, how you look, how your voice sounds. You know, deeper voices tend to be more credible. Not saying that it's fair, it's reality. Most CEOs, most male CEOs of companies are over 6 foot. That's an association trigger. Again, not saying that it's fair. We just deal with reality. And that's something to think about with association triggers. Excuse me. So if you have any questions, you can zap them. We have a few minutes left, or you can ask me over the phone. Any more questions? I got one here that I can read. If there's any more questions, just break in. Otherwise, we'll do this last one here. Earlier I mentioned the bear of bad news. That is a bad association trigger. So the question is, well, what if you do have bad news? Well, what are our options here? You can have somebody else deliver it for you. You can, well, in the workplace, if it's a subordinate, it probably doesn't matter as much, or someone that maybe crossed line. I guess it depends if you want, it's pretty much the person you want to influence that you need to be careful of. And that goes back to mood and persuasion. That's a whole other topic. But if you are going to bear bad news, make sure, if you have to, it has to be you. Maybe you want to deliver it and buffer it with a meal or buffer it with a little humor. That'll help out a little bit. And sometimes, and usually the workplace is probably not going to matter if these people you've known for a while. I'm talking about maybe someone you're meeting for the first time or someone you need to influence that day or someone you're negotiating with. Seems like a simple, frivolous thing. And sometimes these things are like, really, that matters? And I'm saying, yeah, it does. It does matter. So that makes a huge difference in the world of persuasion and influence. Great questions today. You guys are on it. So Law of Association is in the Magnetic Persuasion series. If you want to listen to the audio as far as get some more information and go through the workbook, you can do that. But go through your things. Just take a look at it. What you wear, what you drive, how your office looks. Messy offices tend to be less credible than clean offices. You know, you can't fix everything, but it's something to think about. What people see, what they expect to see is part of it. You go to a law office, you expect to see dark wood. You expect to see books. And if it's a new law office, you look at their fake books. I don't need books to be a lawyer anymore. It's all online. It's all searchable, but that's the expectations. That's why they have them, because it's an association trigger. Lots of books. You must be smart. So go out there, persuade with power. Thanks for being online today. You know, I'll post everything. I'll have someone post everything on whywhypersuasion.com. That's where we get our questions. That's also where we'll post the replay in the next 24 hours. So with that, thanks for being online with us today. Go make it happen. If there's any certain topics you want to hear over the next couple of weeks, let me know there at whypersuasion.com. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next week.